You are listening to the audio-only portion of the KoopaCast. To watch the video version, please check out purenintendo.com/KoopaCast. The intro and outro music of our KoopaCast is brought to you by the artist Big Giant Circles, who has composed for projects such as Mass Effect 2, Super Street Fighter 2 HD Remix, and Borderlands 2. Our opening song is Houston, and our closing song is A Rose in the Field, both from the album Glory Days. To listen to more of Big Giant Circles' work, go to music.biggiantcircles.com to see his entire collection of video game remixes and soundtracks. You can also find his collection on iTunes. Again, that website is music.biggiantcircles.com. Hey everyone, welcome to KoopaCast number 44. Reasonably sure I got that number right. I'm your host this week. I am Matthew Paxton, the multimedia manager of PNM and ProNintendo.com, your independent source for all things Nintendo. And joining me are these two other people who will introduce themselves as well as answer this question. Since we're starting, we're coming up on E3, this is actually the last podcast before E3 2014. So I wanted to ask you guys, when a game is first announced, like, or what game were you most excited for when it was first announced?
Do you mean in general or recently?
Yeah, of like all time. Like, there's just this one game that was announced, and you just kind of lost your mind when you heard it was coming out.
I guess I would have to go back to my first E3, I guess. The first experience of being there was Metroid Other M. It wasn't really announced. It was that tease trailer that they had in 2009 or 10. Where they showed like Samus' ship and like this quick cutscene. That was pretty exciting.
I'm Justin. I'm assistant editor for PureNintendo.com and the magazine PNM. And just to make it quick, I'm going to go with a recent release, Watch Dogs. I was pretty psyched for Watch Dogs, but I'm kind of bummed with the delay. I'm sure that if I thought long enough and hard enough, I could think of another title, but that's a recent one.
All right. And I guess we're going to go ahead and continue on this E3 topic. And like I said, this is the week. One, are we like a little bit before E3 2014 comes up, and a lot of us are going on the trip. And I just wanted to know what your expectations are at this point. Like, is there anything that you were really expecting Nintendo to do this year? Anything Nintendo should do this year?
I expect them to continue doing what they've been doing. Someone asked me the other day, like, oh, is Nintendo going to turn the Wii U around at E3? And my answer to them was that they've already started turning the Wii U around. Like, you can tear something down in a night, but it can take months or years to build something back up. And for me, the Wii U turnaround started last year with Mario Kart and Super Smash Bros. That got us core gamers excited back on the Wii U's bandwagon. And then this year, I think we'll have a mixture of continue making us excited as core gamers and bringing back the casual gamers. And I think the way they're going to do that is with introducing more gamepad games in different ways, different family-friendly games, like you can say, or party games like the Wii had. I think we'll see a mixture of both.
And I think I kind of agree with James is that I think all of us kind of hoped that Wii would rebound a little better than it has. Like he's saying, last year, the announcement of Mario Kart 8 and Super Smash Bros. Helped get some of the bigger fans of Nintendo and the Wii U kind of excited. And hopefully sales of the titles and maybe a boost in sales of the hardware units will kind of usher back a return for the third parties. and maybe a little stronger support once there's a bigger install base. As far as Nintendo at E3, I think we all kind of expect Smash Brothers, obviously, maybe a little of the new Zelda Wii U title. They already said they're going to have the NFC stuff at E3, which I'm kind of curious to really delve into and see what their plans are with the NFC, since we've kind of seen a little more lackluster support for those sorts of games. But I'm sure Nintendo will have a few surprises. They always do. It'll just kind of depend on whether or not there are big surprises or just kind of little surprises here and there throughout their presentation.
And do you think the Nintendo's gonna have like the NFC like figures there, like have us be able to interact with it, or do you think they're just gonna wait till not next E3, but like events down the road, or like maybe at some Best Buys or something?
I think the figures might be there at E3, but I don't know if they'll have anything concrete as far as something as like hands-on. I think they may just kind of explain what their plan is for the NFC, maybe have some of the figures there, but I don't know that they may have any solid gameplay experiences involving the NFC.
I almost think they have to have them there because it's depending how fast they want to move with them. I think they want to move pretty quick because it's the way to make up money. Because it's going to do like the Skylanders thing where they charge an X amount of money for these figures, more revenue for them. And the best place to show it off is at E3. Like, next event would be like Tokyo Game Show, which are nice, but they're only more Asian Pacific shows. So to get everyone more of the world base, the E3 would be the great place. Maybe not to have a gameplay like J Money said, but maybe have the figurines in a case and talk about them during the show, then have maybe all some of them displayed in a case. We can look at them and see them.
And my only reasoning behind that is that Nintendo has their Nintendo Directs. So if they want to show gameplay or something, they can do that. They just need to come out with a direct all about an NFC or whatever, show off their games and do it that way. But like James is saying, I think it would be wise for them to have some of the figures there to kind of show off to the crowd and to their fans worldwide.
I agree. I kind of wonder, like, can Nintendo, will Nintendo be able to, like, I don't know, make sure that nobody runs off with one of those figurines anyway, if they're just kind of out and about on the floor?
They'll just tether them to people like they did with their 3Ds's.
Is that what they did?
Yeah, 3DSs were tethered the whole time.
Well, I remember them being tethered to tables. That just seems like it's harder to do with a figurine.
Well, I think they'll be in like a glass or a plastic. Kind of like the system, like the Xbox was and stuff last year. If you go around and saw them, they were in displayed in a nice little lit see-through
That's true.
display. I think the same thing with the Disney Infinity characters too. They were on a display.
Yeah, last year they had a couple, don't even know what to call them, but they had a couple ladies walking around with basically three, was it? No, I think it was two. They had two 3DSs that were like basically tethered to their waist.
Huh.
And they would stand there next to the people in line waiting and let them play the 3DS while they're waiting in line.
Yeah, those if you look closely to those belts, they're pretty hardcore belts that like you have to steal the whole person and then just steal a 3DS. And
They're
so
like locked to
you'd have to
them.
throw them over your shoulder, and I'm pretty sure they would notice that. That was their thinking, like, hey, we just tie it to a person, they can't steal the whole person.
I see some pretty strong people there. I'm sure somebody old enough could go for it. And I think another thing we're probably going to see at D3, we're probably going to see a lot of, I know you guys mentioned the new Legend of Zelda that might be coming out and way down the road, but definitely we're going to see a lot of like Hyrule Warriors, I think on the show floor.
And I think a lot of people are curious to see more of Hyrule Warriors because it was kind of like a out of left field thing for Nintendo to kind of throw that out there just before well, it wasn't just before E3 when they announced it, but so close to E3. So I think people are kind of itching to see more gameplay and more how the game's going to work.
Especially since now that they recently announced that there's going to be some voice acting for this thing now.
Oh, is there really?
Yeah, that was a recent announcement. No, there's no specification if it's going to be like as much dialogue as like you might see in like the Warrior series, the previous Warriors iterations, or if it's just going to be like one step farther than like what we saw in Skyward Sword or something like that, where somebody might say one or two sentences. But there was like talk of dialogue. I think it's a conf it's confirmed now that there's going to be dialogue, spoken dialogue in these games.
Oh, so it wasn't necessarily clear as to what extent the voice acting would be.
Right.
Okay. Excuse me.
But I mean, this is not like this is Team Ninja again, right? So, I mean, they're the ones who gave voice to I gave a full voice to Samus. So, I mean, I could see they'll probably try to recreate that again with Link. Didn't say it was a good thing. I just said it's likely to happen.
Well, I don't know that they would go as far as giving a voice to Link because hasn't Nintendo gone on record before saying that there will never be no voice, like Link will never have an actual voice acted part.
I
Are
never
you?
heard that.
I don't remember where I read it, but I think somebody at Nintendo actually said that.
Yeah, I think that was a couple years ago. But yeah, I think I remember them saying, someone asking them why isn't there like a full voice, and I'm like, well, basically it was kind of like we can't or we won't give Link a voice. Kind of, I don't know the exact words they used. It was kind of a mixture of we can or we kind of don't want to give.
Okay.
But that may have changed because I was like, I think it was Iwata said, one of them said, someone from Nintendo said that they're excited for it because it's a change. They want to show that they can change from the norm of the Zelda game. That's what Hyrule Warriors is.
I think they've done a pretty good job of demonstrating that, even with just the first trailer.
Yeah, because it's really not like a typical Zelda game at all.
Yeah, no, it's the it's like it's along the lines of what Namco Bandai usually does, like the Warrior series.
Yeah, it's a Warriors game with, hey, it has Link in it. Basically, it's just a Warrior game with Link.
Well, you can also play as Sheik in this one.
That's true.
I'm hoping they have that out on the floor because I really want to see how it goes and see if, if Team Ninja's going in the right direction with this one. Or if it's going to be strike two for them handling Nintendo series. So, but like from what you've seen, are you either of you excited about Hyrule Warriors at all?
I am now. I wasn't originally, but after that most recent news and was there a trailer?
I don't think I saw a trailer. I saw a lot of screens though.
That's what it was, screen the news. I think I'm pretty excited for it.
I'm always excited to try something new with some of Nintendo's existing franchises. Things like Kirby's Epic Yarn and stuff like that. I mean, people really weren't too excited about that. It was too childish, too easy. But I was excited to try something a little new and a little different. And with Hyrule Warriors, I have that same feeling. It's a little new, it's a little different. A lot of people are kind of skeptical. But I'm kind of excited to do a little something different than the norm with Link.
I'm still part of the skeptical crowd. Not because I don't think Team Ninja can do it, but because I have played the Warrior games before, And visually, they're extremely excited, exciting games. But the gameplay just, it gets so samey after a little while. And, you know, even the visuals start, like, wearing out their welcomes after, like, you know, hour 6 and 7 when you're just, when you've cut through your, like, 2,000th guy on the next level.
I think it's a bold move by Nintendo. Even though I don't consider it like a Zelda and the Zelda franchise, that's what we're going to be comparing to it. And if we end up not liking the gameplay, or like you say, getting tired of it, we're going to be like, well, this is just a crappy Zelda game that Nintendo made. That's what most thinking is going to be. Or we absolutely love it and be like, hey, all Zelda games should be like this. I don't think there's going to be much in that middle. It's either everyone's going to love it or everyone's going to hate it.
Yeah. Yeah, I figure this. Yeah, it's love it or this is Phillips all over again. Yeah. Well, hopefully not that bad. Well, I don't know. I'd actually kind of like to see some Phillips cutscenes in Hyrule Warriors. I think somebody needs to make that mod. Well, we've actually kind of blown through the topics here pretty quickly. I'm surprised. but don't worry, because I made up some new topics, because some recent news came out. I'm sure you've all read up on it. Nintendo's talking about this YouTube affiliate program. For those of you who haven't read it, you can go ahead and check that out on their site right now at purenintendo.com. It talks about Nintendo's upcoming announcement saying that they're going to start working with Let's Players and other YouTube players who feature a lot of Nintendo games on their site and want to monetize off of that. In the past, Nintendo has kind of like, as part of this larger campaign through multiple companies, have like flagged a lot of content creators for copyright infringement because they'll feature Nintendo games on there. And so they'll take the monetization away from the Let's Players, and then the monetization will then go to Nintendo. So, and from what some sites say, you know, it's a step in the right direction, but then other people are kind of like, you know, crying out against it, saying Nintendo's still just kind of being greedy, and that all the money should go to the YouTubers. So I'm definitely interested to hear what your opinion is on this whole thing.
I guess first they need to say that I think they should just leave them alone, period. But with that, I don't blame Nintendo doing what they're doing because it is their product. So I personally can't be mad. I don't think anyone should be mad at them. They should just leave it alone, but if they want to do something, I think this is a fair compromise. Be like, hey, we take a percentage, you take a percentage. Everyone gets something. And they have every right to do that, basically, in my opinion. But, yeah, good compromise.
Well, and that's been my stance the whole time regarding the monetization YouTube copyright issue, is that it is their content. It's their game. It's the music they've created. The whole thing about the video game, you're putting it out there, and you're making money off of it. And it is, by all means, their content. So do I think Nintendo's right by taking all of it? No, not necessarily. But they have the right to. Like James was saying, it's a good middle ground. It's not really the best thing as far as, I mean, like if I were somebody who created Let's Play videos and stuff and kind of made my living more or less off of that money, then yeah, I'd kind of be upset. But I think what Nintendo is offering is something rather than nothing.
Right. It's definitely, it is like YouTube for a few years now, or more than a few years, has just been this big gray, or legally gray area in terms of content. It's pretty infamous of showing, like, putting, like, soundtracks illegally on there, and the music companies have been cracking down on that. Next came, like, the Let's Plays, and of course there are movies floating around there that you can kind of watch for free, and that's all legal. So it's definitely interesting because some companies are starting to crack down, but other companies are saying, you know, no, absolutely, you know, you monetize all you want, we won't take a cent of it. So it's interesting to see like Nintendo do being the first to take this middle ground, and I'm wondering if we're going to see like other companies, you know, if Nintendo's plan works out, if we're going to start seeing other companies kind of follow suit, and we're kind of going to see like this more, I guess, regulated Let's Play community.
Well, and if Nintendo can pull off this affiliate kind of middle ground, like you're saying, I can definitely see other companies maybe giving it a shot. I don't know that it would be best for like some of the companies that you were saying just gave permission to Let's Players saying, yeah, go ahead, if they were to backpedal and then try the middle ground thing. I don't know that that would be the best idea, but I do think that if Nintendo can pull it off, other companies might try doing the same.
I'm curious and worried because the wording of being an affiliate with Nintendo, kind of like a partnership, and Nintendo's very, for lack of a better word, anal with who they partner up with because they don't want to look their brand look bad. So, like, not everyone will may be able to affiliate with them. Like, if they're going to put the affiliates with Nintendo, they may have a long, hard process, and all the high-quality ones make it, and some of the lower-end OPers are left out in the cold.
Right. And I guess I should kind of add on saying that as of the time that we're talking about this, very little details have come out about this program. What we do know is Nintendo is going to do this affiliate program, and that they're going to start talking to people. But we don't know like what are the terms and conditions, how long the process is going to take, and you know who's going to be inclusive and who's not. So we'll definitely keep you updated on that on PureNintendo.com. So I guess unless anybody else had anything else to add, I guess we can move on to a happier topic, I guess. James reviewed Mario Kart 8.
Yes, and I can finally talk about it. That's why I wanted to stay away from last Koopa Cast. I knew I wouldn't be able to not talk about it. I couldn't at the time.
This is actually one of the best timed Koopa Casts I've ever seen, where we got a relevant topic right before it comes out, so it's like this is the perfect timing. So, James, you have the spotlight to talk about your review.
What's there to say? Where should I start?
James, you're dying after. You're choking on the spotlight. Come on.
It's like, I'll just quote the start of my review. It's everything you want it to be. It's everything I expected it to be. It's a Mario Kart game. It's a great Mario Kart game. I will say this, that some of the reviews that are complaining that it's just another Mario Kart game, they're full of poo-poo. Because Mario Kart Wii was one of the highest, or the highest selling games, so why change the formula? But that's another argument. But they did change the formula. Well, I guess one of the greatest things I like about it is I strongly disliked the retro levels in a lot of the Mario Kart games, because I was a little in the feeling that I played them already. I don't really want to necessarily play them again, because a lot of the new levels were more exciting than what they chose for the retro levels. And even in Mario Kart 7, when they added in the glider feature, I thought that was kind of just forced. But in Mario Kart 8, the retro levels feel totally new, but nostalgic at the same time. You still feel like those levels, but they're totally new with the gravity aspect and with the glider. It's just exciting.
And I think one of the more standout features is this, and going back to YouTube, I guess, is the ability to kind of upload like these minute long videos of your races,
uh-huh,
and kind of show them off to your friends. And that's a partnership between Nintendo and YouTube now, right?
Yeah, that's a pretty cool. It takes a little too long to upload to YouTube than I probably should. It's like 10 minutes to do a minute.
Mm.
Oh, so wow.
It's a little long. I don't know where if it's my internet, or I don't know where that slowness is coming from, but it seemed to be the average. But I wish there was more. I wish you can do whole races, and I wish you could choose a little more what you could put up. I realize I left all this out of my review.
That's why we have the Cooper Cast, right?
Yeah. Because it wasn't really active when I wrote the review. Like, it came active the day the review came out, but I was too lazy to rewrite that. but, like, you can change a little bit of the settings. Like, you can change, I think it's like the four players who the camera focuses on. Obviously, I'm doing my video, so I always focus on myself. But you can focus on other races if you wanted to. So, if, like, all three of us were playing, the camera would switch between three of us. You can switch between... Like, if you want to use items, you want to just show items. So when one of us gets hit by an item or throws an item, or I was showing everything, all the highlights. And you can change the music where you can just hear the sounds of the items. You can just have music, so that's kind of cool. But I wish there was more. But besides, like, picking scenes, you can't really do that. It's up to the game. You just say, I want a minute worth of clips, and it picks the clips from who you choose you want to see.
Now, can you change? Is the entire video customizable, or is it just what's shown in that video that's customizable? Like, for say, the 1 minute shows eight different scenes. Can you show something like for the first two scenes you want to show a couple items, but then
no? It's when you make those changes in customization, I guess you want to call it. It's for the whole video.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. So you can turn off the music for the whole video and just have, like, the carts and the items hitting if you really wanted to.
All right. I guess another huge standout feature was, and I just happened to see this, some kind of item now that blocks out blue shells?
Yes. I don't know what it's called, the horn?
Super horn?
Super horn. Like, I think James Money called it. Couple weeks ago, that is. It's hard to get. It's not hard to get. It doesn't happen very often. I've only gotten like three times. But I've actually used it on a blue show, which was the coolest feeling ever. At the end of the race, and the blue show had to come in, I was like, take that. And it was awesome. But like the other times I've had it, like I've always had a red shell, something else coming up behind me that forced me to use it. So it might as well. But yeah, you don't get it that often, so it's not a big game changer in the sense where you're getting it once or twice a race, whoever's in first. It's something that only comes up every once in a while, and I like it because it reminds me of a flip of a coin in the sense of, I know, like, whenever you're in first, you're always praying, oh please, when you hear that noise of the blue shell, you're like, ah, crap. But now to kind of keep levels of playing field of holding on to that horn.
All right. Now, can you tell us about, like, the online community at all? Like, how the online play has been? Or has that not been, like, active during the embargo at all?
It's been active, but it's hit and miss. But whenever everyone else is on, like, I've had a 12-person race before, but then I can go 3 days with no one on. But it works well. I did try the voice chat. It is nice. Like I said in my review, though, you have no control. Like, once you guys select there's a certain amount of time limits in between races. You can either select your courses or not. But, like, you can be in the middle of a conversation like this, and all of a sudden just kills the mics and moves into the race. And it's like, well, I want you to be able to control. If I'm the host, I want to be able to control when we start the next race. So if we wanted to chat a little more about it, we could.
Would it be better if they gave you some sort of warning, like maybe a countdown to the race?
It kind of does. It does a beep countdown, but it's not. They do, but I would rather be able to control it. Like, we want to. If I really wanted to gloat and after beating you guys, I could do it as long as I wanted to.
So then you cannot, like, there's no speaker, or there's no microphone function during the race at all? You can't, like,
not during the race.
That seems like a hard decision.
Yeah, there isn't. Then the lobby and then between the races where you're choosing the next levels. That's a long time.
That's definitely odd. I feel like, you know, just having to be able to speak to other people would, you know, would be great. Wow, my English is really terrible. I'm sorry, sorry, people. I've been stuck in front of editing timelines for somewhere between 6 and 7 days straight now, and contact between humans is few and far between.
I like the fact that they did the demos at GameStop. Granted, it made the wait for the game that much harder.
What were those demos?
What's
like,
that?
What were those demos? Like, what tracks did they have?
Man, they're going to challenge my memory skills. They had, because I didn't play all of them. I should have, but I didn't. I played Cloud Top Cruise, Mario Circuit. Forgive me, they had the airport one. Gosh darn it, I can't remember all of them. But I would say they probably had about 8 tracks. And they had all the characters unlocked, so you could play out any character you wanted. The cart customization was limited, but the demo was great. I mean, it gave a great feel of the Mario Kart 8 experience, and like I said, just made the wait for the game that much harder. But like James said, it's a great game. I would definitely put it up there with a Mario Kart Wii. I could see myself enjoying it a lot more than Mario Kart Wii, especially online. I wasn't too fond of Mario Kart Wii online, so I'm kind of itching to get my hands on the online features.
Yeah, two things I noticed after spending more and more time with it, that there is a lot of customization in that game. There's a lot more bikes or ATVs or carts, and there's a lot more wheels, a lot more gliders than I expected, because they just keep coming. So right now I've added an extra 22 customizations to
at
the start at 10. Yeah, and I still have open spaces. Because like you scroll through the customization, you have, you know, question marks. And I'm like, oh, I have one more cart to get. And you get that cart, and another question mark shows up. I'm like, where did this question mark come from? And so, like, because you do it like Mario Kart 7, you get the coins. And I have, like, you get for every 50 coins up to 1,000, you get something. But after 1,000, it's every 100 coins you collect. But right now, I'm at like 1,200, 1,300 coins. So.
Oh, wow. Yeah. So the coins serve, that's the purpose coins serve.
Yeah.
I absolutely thought it was just for speed, like the NES version.
No. Yeah, I think they added that marker at 7 for the coin. Yeah, it's like every 50 you get a new wheel or glider or something. And then when you hit 1,000, they move to 100. So I'm curious how many items there are actually. Yeah, so I looked up a wiki, Mario Kart 8 wiki. And there's a lot more items than that even wiki had.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
And the cool thing is that they're not unlocked, like, from what I think I've heard, they're unlocked randomly. So the order that, say, James unlocked his items isn't the way mine are going to unlock. So I may have wheels and stuff that he doesn't have.
That's an interesting bit. I like that. It kind of keeps people guessing, and it kind of reminds me of, like, that old school, like, you had a word of mouth kind of thing. Like, oh, did you know there's a car like this? Like, oh, no, I never got like that. You know, how'd you get it? You know, something like that. I can appreciate that. And so what did you end up giving this review, James?
9.5. I did find one more thing I don't like about it. Nah, I should have tried this before my review, but
update the score?
Probably. My wife and I were playing a lot over the weekend, so we were playing split screen. And it was only vertical split screen. It wasn't horizontal split screen.
Really?
So like down like this?
Yeah. And so like I had there, it affected me. Like when I'm going around a curve, I can't really see if there's something, because the aspect ratio just shrinks. So I can't really see what I would normally see going around a curve. And so I struggled a little bit running into things, because lots of time I was just going by feel of the track that I remember. Like, I think this curve turns like this. And sometimes I misjudge it, end up flying off the other side. Because I can't see exactly what is coming or how the curve always turns. Because it's just a skinny aspect ratio.
That's kind of a bummer to hear, because I actually prefer horizontal split screen over vertical.
No, like, I don't know why it's like that. And I wish you could change it. I couldn't. I wish you could do gamepad and TV, too. That would be cool.
And I find it strange that that's not even an option, like the gamepad, TV. Because, I mean, that's really what the Wii...
Because it mirrors. The gamepad mirrors the TV, so why not just have it its own?
Huh.
Because that's something we know Nintendo can pull off with their Wii U. Oh, yeah, you're right. I feel like that's really odd that Nintendo couldn't do that for Mario Kart 8.
It is.
Hugely missed opportunity.
It is. Like, it would have been... Like, I messed around in the setting. I was like, it has to be. Like, I had... you have to be able to do this. No option to do it, so...
That's interesting. Another thing I just kind of thought of... it's a huge part of every Mario Kart. Well, at least I feel like it is. The battle mode, and so I heard some rumblings here and there that it's a little bit different this time around than like in previous Mario Kart iterations. Can you talk about that at all, or am I completely off base?
No, it is different, and I was never actually a big fan of battle mode. I only did it just to take a break from racing, but like instead of having its own. Stages, I guess you can say, like the when they had the GameCube one for the Double Dash, where you race around on the GameCube or the castle and stuff. It has actual tracks. Like I think there's take pulls like 8 of them or 10 of them, something like that, of the tracks and pull them and you race on those. So you just go around the track and fight each other.
All right. Is there more than one objective then, or is it just to destroy your opponent like it always is?
Just to destroy your opponent, I think.
And is it more of like a, because obviously in a racing game, you want to go in one direction, you want to get through your laps or whatever. So in battle mode, is it encouraged to like explore the tracks then?
I did.
Oh.
I use it as an opportunity to go around. No, you don't have to go a certain direction. You don't even have to move if you don't want to.
Okay.
That doesn't seem like a winning strategy to me.
But like it is a good opportunity to go and see like, wait a minute, remember that it was this weird possible shortcut this one direction and go and try it if you wanted to.
Do they have shortcut? Like when you say shortcuts like that, sorry, my mind automatically flashes back to Mario 64 where you can just do these little tricks and just cut out huge swaths of these tracks. Is there anything like that in this version?
Yeah, my wife ran across one on Rainbow Road where she fell off and skipped half the track.
Are you serious?
That is good to know. Can you tell me, you know, that's more specifically?
I'm going to keep that to my secret because I think I do remember. But then, they have, like I mentioned in a review, I like where they have the gravity and the normal racing as a decision or as a strategy. You choose to go to gravity or choose to go as the normal way. And there is one or maybe two tracks where I see this ramp jump on the side of one of them was in a cave. And like, you know, one of the speed ramp jumps. And I can't figure out how you use it. Like, it's because there's no road going up to it or no track. There's no, like, I don't know why it's there. I think it's in the Sherbert, the snow, the ice level. Yeah, there's randomly just boosts on the side of the cave, and I can't figure out how to use them. But there's a lot of hidden secret things, too, like that, like, you know, Mario Kart.
That's interesting that you said that the gravity stuff is optional in the race.
Some of them are forced.
Some of them are forcing you to do it?
Yeah, some of them, it's everyone goes through it, and some of them, it's where they'll have it where you can just choose, like, oh, I'm going to go up inside and go this way, and the person just keeps going straight, type of thing.
Okay. And how does that feel like? I remember last E3 when I tried it out, like, everything was fine until I got up on, like, the wall, and I was going to the side, and I felt like I turned into, like, an old person. I'm like, I'm on the wall? I don't get it. And I'm like,
no, it is a little bit putting on, like, it is harder to drive on the wall. So maybe that's a decision that people need to make. Like, it does take a little more skill to keep straight on the wall because it kind of bounces you around more. So maybe that could be part of the strategy. If there's a whole bunch of people going up on a wall, that's just going to become a mess. So you keep going straight on the road or the path or whatever you're on.
So a risk reward kind of thing?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm trying to think. I think we've covered pretty much everything in this new Mario Kart. Is there something like I'm missing or anything you wanted to ask, Justin?
Well, I know I've been watching today. I went to Game Explain and I kind of watched some of their videos. And they kind of just touch more on some of the extreme detail that Nintendo's put into that game. And that while there is a lot of the typical stuff you expect in a Mario Kart game, there's a lot of things Nintendo did that are small to make it feel real. And no, like some of the giant Goombas, as you're driving by them, they look at you as you're driving by and that sort of thing. So it feels more real than just racing on a track.
No, like I talked about this more originally in my review, but I took it out because it came wordy. But that I mentioned just that is that the little details that we love about Nintendo, what only Nintendo does in the game, like that airport track with the planes. Like when you're going through the terminal, if you pay enough attention, you can hear like someone being paged over the PA system. And I'm like, well, that's something very simple, but it's kind of cool. But hey, I'm actually in the terminal, and what you hear in the terminal all the time, so-and-so, come get your child that's lost or whatever. So you hear these little pages calling people or calling the next flight coming in. So it's kind of, those little details are cool. And like the Mario Kart TV people, like you actually see them everywhere. Like they're all throughout the track. You see a helicopter every once in a while maybe flying, oh, be hiding in distance, or a little toe lean with a camera around a corner. So it's like they're actually integrated into the game except for just that ploy, I guess. They're actually a part.
Alright. So, I mean, obviously I gotta ask, who were they calling on the terminal?
I know they were calling a name. Sound like they said a name. That'd be cool, though. Like, it's Smash, where they calling the character's name. That'd be cool. It was like, hey, Mario, your bags are here.
Where they call out, like, you know, just to go, like, really crazy, they call out, like, upcoming Smash Brothers characters, and you hear that one, and then that's your hint for the next announcement.
Well, one thing I noticed, and I saw, sorry, real quick, that I noticed that last night when I was watching the credits, and someone already posted it up on some other site, Namco Bandai was thanked in the credits, and I don't know what part they played.
That's really interesting.
Yeah, they were in a special credit near like the very end, like right before they started showing Miyamoto and Iwata's name come up.
Isn't it like Bandai Namco now or something like that?
Bandai Namco, something like that. Yeah, and so I thought that was, I don't know why they're in the special thanks, like the thanks section.
Yeah, I'm trying to think, like what characters in Mario Kart or anything specific that, you know,
back, maybe they helped with it a little bit. I don't remember hearing anything about them.
That's interesting, because that would make this, what, yet another game that Nintendo has, or the two companies have worked closely together with.
Yeah.
Maybe we're going to see a trend of that in the future, and like Bandai Namco is going to partner up with Nintendo some more. And like in future games, maybe they're going to merge, who knows? I'm just going out there now.
Nintendo's buying Namco, what?
Maybe Nintendo's buying Sony, I don't know. Let's just go all the way with it. Next year you're going to see the PSU.
piece.
Did you you two have anything to add, like anything you wanted to bring up before we sign off?
Not besides keep an eye on PureNintendo.com for everything E3 related and Nintendo related.
Mario Kart tournament this weekend.
Oh yes, that's right. Don't forget that.
Starting at 12:30 on tonight, actually, I guess. No, wait, what is today?
Today's the 28th.
No, like Thursday?
Yeah, no, it's going to be Friday the 30th, you know, when the game comes out.
Oh, today's Wednesday. Dang it.
Yes.
All right, so it would be tomorrow night.
Well, we're all doing good in the Scuba Cast, aren't we?
In one of those weeks. So tomorrow night at 12:30.
Mm-hmm. You can check out, we posted that up on our website as well. You can go check that out. And I believe the prize for the tournament is a 12-month subscription, right?
Yeah, digital subscription. And what I like, and I like the fact that it runs through the 3rd, so don't think that if you don't get it day one, you're missing out. You have a few days. But definitely make sure you get in there and compete.
And it gives you some time to get better wheels and carts. You got to be able to hang with my motorcycle and wheels. But you get to collect coins online, so there we go. You're collecting coins while you're playing online.
There you go. James, are you saying that you're going to be in the tournament?
I'll be playing, but I can't.
You can't win.
I could win, but the prize doesn't mean much to me.
Congratulations, Editor-in-Chief James. You won your own magazine.
Yay.
So, as you can tell, James will be on there. You'll probably see a few more familiar faces. You know, Jay Money might pop on there. I might pop off on there.
Might.
I don't have your schedules in front of me. I can't tell. I can't make promises that you guys can't keep.
Will.
Okay, Will. James will be there. Justin will be there. Maybe our other Justin will be there as well. You might see some other people who are not on the cast might pop up. We can't wait to see you participate in the tournament. Okay, after that, let's see. Plugs. There we go. Okay. Exit strategy. I know how to do this. Thank you all for listening to KoopaCast. This is our 44th episode. This is right before E3. If you have any questions you'd like to ask us, feel free to email us at podcast@yournintendo.com. You can also follow our Twitter accounts. We have our Twitter accounts listed on the staff page of purenintendo.com. You can also check out the myriad of Mario Kart 8 videos that are up on our YouTube page. And while you're there, please check out some of our other stuff. I guess click and subscribe. I think that's what the YouTubers are saying nowadays.
And big thanks to James for throwing all those Mario Kart TV.
It was rough to play Mario Kart to get those up there.
I know you suffered so hard winning all of those matches.
There is two that I lost that I never put up. I'm not putting up stuff that I lost in.
James!
Way to slant the journalism there.
It's my highlight. I'm not going to highlight me losing.
I want to see one that shows you getting hit with the blue shell at the finish line.
Yeah.
Well, that one's already gone. I always say he's 12.
That could have gotten the most views ever. I'm trying to think if there's anything else. No, I can't think of anything. I've already put out the podcast, the Twitter. There are no contests going on. So I think we're solid. The next time you'll see us, we will be in Los Angeles getting ready for E3. Or actually, we'll be in the middle of E3.
It'll be an exciting time.
Yes, it will. So until next time, we'll see you later. Again, thank you for listening. See you later.